Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. We stopped at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're still trying to establish perspective on some issues that we raised. Celebrating her birthday today. You will do well to... Amen. Hallelujah. Can you stretch your hand in her direction and bless her? And ask that the counsel of the Lord concerning her life will come to pass. And that grace will be given unto her. That this point in our life will be so strategic in the implementation of the plans of God that is written concerning her. Can you decree that no weapon formed against her shall be able to prosper? Can you decree that she will only go onward and forward? Glory to your great name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Just in case your birthday happens to be today, you may wish to join in this prayer quickly. 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 Amen. If your birthday happens to be today, you may wish to join quickly. And when your birthday is approaching, you can reach out to any of the pastors, notify them so that we can bequeath to you blessings of the Lord. One more time, can we pray? Can we pray? That the hand of our good God will be strong upon his servants. That grace upon grace will be administered. And just in case your birthday is today and you are participating online, the prayers we are making right now is for you. You are implicated. And God indeed will cause your face to shine. He will be gracious unto you. His hand will be strong on your life. Can we decree that no weapon formed against them? No weapon. No weapon formed, no weapon fashioned against them shall be able to prosper. No weapon. Asaiko malambros kafalas ketima. Jelomonde bresko felabis kobrehete katada. We decree that whatsoever you lay your hands upon to do, it shall prosper. When there's a pool of people to make a selection, you will be picked because the favor of the Lord is bestowed upon you. Thank you, Lord. And we ask, O God, that your grace might be bestowed uniquely on your servants. And on this great day, we bring a heart of thanksgiving concerning your people for how you have preserved them, how you have kept them, and how you have strengthened them to uphold your name even until this time. We are well assured that that good hand of yours upon them will not waver, and you will strengthen them perpetually with might by your spirit in the inner man. Cause, O God, that the crooked paths ahead of them will be made straight, and that the sons of strangers will stand and build their walls, that men and women will go out of their ways to be a blessing to them. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Celebrate them. It shall be well with you. Philippians chapter 4. We began yesterday. We established that the devil operates from the circumstances. Satan is not within you, so he cannot operate from within you. Just in case you heard a voice, just in case a thought precipitated into your heart, it was the activity of demons assigned, deceiving spirits. They are in various categories, and they speak into your head, and you think you are the one speaking. Satan must operate from outside, from without you. God operates from within you. That's if you are born again and he is tabernacled on your heart, he operates from within you. And the point is this, Satan's entry point is your mind. His entry point is your mind. And that's why for all the components of your soul, it is only your mind that God wants to renew. Because if your mind is renewed, it will be more difficult for a deceiving spirit to convince you to take an action that is contrary to the word of God. And so God is interested in your mind. Satan is interested in your mind. The more you walk with God, the more you attend to the word of God, the more you obey the instructions of the Spirit of God, your mind will be renewed. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Because we want to be in a state where it will be so difficult for the devil to manipulate you. That's what the defensive perspective of dealing with demons is about. Like the testimony that Jesus shared, that the prince of this world cometh, he found nothing. We were not compatible. He could not advance a discussion. His mission was aborted on arrival. Because he found no ground of compatibility with me, he had to reschedule the attack for another time. The devil will reschedule. Hey, in the name of Jesus. You see, there are so many things, but I can't say. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Yes, I want to show you an example of circumstances that God orchestrated, God allowed, so that he could renew the mind of his servants. I think that will be, is it 1 Corinthians chapter 2? All right, just an example. Let me check that. Oh, I think it's 2 Corinthians. He renews your mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. So the Spirit of God needs to be in the business of perpetually exposing you to circumstances through which he will renew your mind. And when he has renewed your mind on a certain matter, it will be difficult for the devil to deceive you on that matter. And more, the devil becomes more impotent in your life as touching issues in the areas in which God has meticulously renewed your mind. Now, there is a course in my archive on the renewal of the mind. The course, we have not taken that course before, but hopefully we'll take it this year. Renewing your mind. It's a great investment of the Holy Spirit in order to administer what it is required to bring you up to maturity. Because the more matured you are, the more the devil finds incompatibility around you. There is nothing that he can take advantage of. Now, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. That we were pressed out of measure above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life." The experience here is the experience of God allowing a man to be stretched beyond his capacity to bear. You see, I need to explain something here. Because you see, the whole counsel of God is what is contained in the entire scriptures on a particular subject. That's the whole counsel of God. I went for Bible study when I was in Lagos, to church. and they broke the congregation into groups. Then the pastor that came to our group was now teaching from the scriptures, and he said, God is not the author of temptation. However, in the midst of a temptation, God will not allow you to be tempted much more than you can bear. I hope you know the scripture that I'm quoting from. But that's not the whole truth. That's just one scripture. That's just one side of it. There are times when God regulates trials in keeping with your ability to bear. There are also times when God allows trials that is beyond your ability to bear. That is what we have here. So I stopped the pastor. Don't conclude there. You are concluding. Then I brought this scripture. The Bible study ended. So because of that, I didn't attend Bible study again. You know, I'm emotional with the Bible. If you touch it in the wrong way, well, Jesus will help me, Jesus. The Bible study ended. Because I say, Oga, the Bible says, we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. We were pressed above strength. In so much that he was beyond his elastic limit, he began to pray for death. So I wanted the pastor to incorporate this aspect of that same subject that he was teaching into his Bible study manual. And the inability to incorporate it led to the end of the class. Our class ended before 4:00. So because of that, I stopped attending Bible study. Because our classes will be ending. And that may not be the will of God. So the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Meanwhile, that was the first day I said I should contribute in Bible study. And the class ended. Now, so in this particular scripture, God allows you to be tested beyond your strength. And when God allows you to be tested beyond your capacity and your strength, what he wants to do is to renew your mind. Don't ever forget that. I know you have gone through a situation and it was a blow you didn't see coming and it hit you hard. You know what? He wants to renew your mind in a certain area. Next verse there. Say, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Why? That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God that raises the dead. After this experience, Paul can no longer trust in himself. Before this experience, he may boast and say he was a custodian of revelatory power. And when he had this experience, it was registered in him that he could no longer, what? Trust in himself. So if there are temptations that are built around your self-trust that the devil used to manipulate you before, having had this experience, those temptations will count for nothing because your mind has been renewed in that area and you can no longer trust in yourself. Do you understand that? And there are many templates of dealings that God has to renew aspects of our minds that have created platforms for compatibility with interfacing with deceiving spirits. Are you still with me? All right, so part of the investment that God makes around your life is to renew your mind. The more your mind is renewed, the more there is less compatibility for deceiving spirits to prosper around your life. The reason is because the battle is within you. And the mastery that wants to be gained, either by God or the devil, is the mastery of your heart. Because your heart is that organ that regulates the issues of life. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, God knows our frame, because he was the designer of you. So he knows what you can bear, and he knows how to manipulate the elastic limits to bring you to a point of utter submission. Sometimes we can be too strong in ourselves. And when you read the book of 1 Kings and 2 Kings, you find the quagmire of, because many times we see think in the old pattern until God confronts us with circumstances that he allows to come into our lives to bring us to an understanding that we could never have reached except by the dealings of his spirit. Please help me preach to your neighbor. The devil walks from outside, but God walks from inside. The only thing that is similar between God and the devil is that they are both spirits. So you don't see them, but the effect of what they do is evident in your ecosystem. I want to spend more time teaching us on how God, who is spirit, that dwells within us, influences us from our inner man. Through the faculty of fellowship, he releases an impartation of grace. Grace is spiritual currency. Grace is like a fuel. The fuel that God releases into your life, with which he expects you to prosecute life and godliness. So grace is infused into your spirit, and part of the manifestation of that grace becomes the activation of the unction that you have received from the Holy One, which is the seat of all possible spiritual knowledge. So in the midst of the circumstances, you notice that a scripture comes alive upon your heart. It is the working of the grace of God. There has been a supply of grace. And you see, what is supernatural doesn't need to be spectacular. What is supernatural doesn't need to be spectacular. As quiet as a scripture being impressed upon your heart is, that's the strength that is needed for you to be able to identify the fact that the voice that I've been speaking to you, that is seeking to extract an action from you, is the voice of the devil. Are you with me? All right. So, the war goes on. But it is our expectation that you will have the kind of testimony that Jesus had when he said that the prince of this world cometh, and he found nothing in me. Let's go back to our text of yesterday, and you will see sometimes God flows like water. Are you with me? You know, God is spirit. Sometimes, experientially, he flows within you like water. And when you must have seen that the spirit of God is revealed in the metaphor, water sometimes. That metaphor that is used to depict the spirit of God as water has to do with the flowings of God when he begins to precipitate thoughts in our heart. Every time the spirit of God in form of water flows, right, within your inner membrane, it is to give you inspired thoughts. Sometimes the spirit of God can be depicted as fire. Fire. Huh? For the enemy, when fire is released, it tortures demons. But that same fire, what does it do in you? It purifies you. So there are times, so that purification activity of the Spirit of God within you is what is held up by the metaphor fire. All of those things are supposed to be experiential emblems, not just intellectual stuff. They are supposed to be experiential. I used to be a man of anger. And I began to submit that anger to God. And then God began to release fire to burn that the foundation of that anger. And then a time came. The day I knew that God had worked was when my younger sister, she said something. If it were previously, She can't even try that. Something had happened to me. And my mother noticed. I said, the Lord has been with you. I didn't know anymore. Hallelujah. So it's a fire. That's the purification aspect. Those are simultaneous activities. It can be purifying you, but when it is water, it flows into your mind and inspires his thoughts in your heart. When it is fire, he's doing a purification work. When it is oil, he is confirming an ordination and instilling an empowerment. These are experiential realities. I literally feel the oil texture. It's not as if the oil is physical. Those guys had deep experiences in God. The guys that God used to write the scripture. And they had the utterance, the vocabulary, to communicate the experience. Such that if you are having the same experience, you will hail the scriptures. How true it is. Are you still with me? So, in the book of Philippians chapter 4, from verse 6, the Bible says, be anxious for, he said, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let your petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. So the same things that the devil would have used to shoot the arrow of worry into your heart and to gain control of your heart should be the raw materials, the springboard for a prayer adventure. It means that it is illegal for you to entertain worry in your heart. You should use the item that should constitute that worry as a seed for a prayer adventure. Next verse. He said, when you do this, you are migrating, you are traveling. This migration, that prayer initiative that you engage as a result of obstacles, environmental circumstances that befall you, the prayer engagement, the prayer adventure becomes a mode of transportation. And you begin to advance. You see, things that are spiritual, we need more education in spiritual things so that you find that a scripture that is this simple is not simple experientially. And that's why even though you know this scripture, you still worry. Because it's not simple experientially. But it's instructing you and I that the same things that should be the reason for which you worry, for which you subscribe to anxiety, should be the same ground that you launch your prayer adventure. And in this prayer adventure that you have decided to launch, you will be traveling until you get to a place in God where you can sense a stabilizing peace. That place where you sense a stabilizing peace is a place of rest. Nothing from the outside world can perturb the calmness that is found in that location. I remember when we were to go for my introduction, we took a night vigil, and we prayed. And by 4 a.m., we had migrated in the spirit to that zone where there was peace. Hallelujah. And the peace was lavished peace. What that peace meant was that the journey was safe. What that peace meant was that my journey into marriage was insured. What that peace meant was that despite the demons and the devils I had scaled, what that peace meant was that everything that meant for life, for godliness, to sustain the institution that God was bringing me into had been fully funded. Oh my God. And it came in a form of peace. All the turbulence outside of the circumstances meant nothing when we arrived at that zone. The Bible says, and the peace of God, we pass it all understanding. You don't know why the peace is there, because there's no money in your pocket. You don't know why the peace is there, because there's no fuel in the vehicle. You don't know why the peace is there because there's no money for school fees. You don't know why the peace is there because there is no ability whatsoever to prosecute the things that are looking at you. But you see, God is spirit. And he is in us. So first of all, before he does anything externally, he would have witnessed about it inside of you. He begins inside and not outside. So the response that he has given you is an inner response of the fact that you have arrived at a place of rest. And if you stay in that place of rest, not considering what is in the external, you will begin to see the sovereign hand of God, because you are in alignment with God. You're being in alignment with God mobilizes God to begin to influence the natural realm in keeping with your faith position that you have sustained in your heart. If you can be in alignment with God, God can move half of the heavens. Yes, to find occasion to reach out to that man that can still believe him in the midst of the darkness of COVID. That man that can still believe him in the midst of the challenges that have bedeviled our world today. He can move his resources just to make sure that the man that is in alignment with him see his manifestation. That is where you give God the opportunity to show you how faithful he can be. Remember Abraham's condition. His seed had dried up. And his barren wife had entered into menopause. He had many reports from the gynecologist how that the orientation of her fallopian tubes could not see anything that looks like life. And there were so many reports and x-rays and ultrasound reports and pictures, such that in his living room, if he wanted to put all the ultrasound pictures, it would become monuments. The way they hang pictures. Because at the time we are speaking now, she's ancient, she's old. So all the ultrasound reports and all the things that the radiologist had minuted until from when she was 18, when she was 20, when she was 21, until she became an ancient. There were so many reasons for Abraham not to believe. But you see, God doesn't operate from the external. There was something that God did to Abraham, and the testimony about him was that he was not weak in faith. He was giving glory to God. It means what happened to him was not natural. It happened in the privacy of his spirit. So if you are still downcast, you are the only one that is downcast. Some other people found a way of tapping into the faith economy. That place where there is stillness, that place where the counsel of God is settled forever. Some people migrated through prayer, and that's where they are. And they have stripped all the circumstances around them of the authority that it has to present itself as real to them. They have a different response. They are full of faith, giving glory to God. They are touching a different reality. And when Abraham achieved that alignment, the hand of God was mobilized. In order for God to bring to pass what you have already received in your spirit in the natural, is the easiest thing for God to do. That's what we call testimony. Is the natural arrangement of things to favor you in keeping with what you have believed. And God has a million ways to orchestrate it in the natural. Even through ravens. Yes, and unbelievers. Oh my. You need to study your Bible. You need to study your Bible. If men are lacking to respond, God can anoint a raven. He can anoint a donkey to give you prophecy. The orchestration of the natural realm in conformity with what you have sustained in your spirit is one of the easiest things for God to do. The difficult thing is for you to align there and have a perception of assurance beyond what is dictated by your physical sense. Your strength is inside, not outside. Your strength is inside. You don't know how many people came to me and told me how that we are going to fail in this ministry. was a great preacher while I was on campus. Those that were there then can testify. None of my disciples followed me when we started this war. None. Ooh, you don't understand. You don't understand. No preacher preached like me when I was on campus. Oh my, I was a terrorist. Because I lived a fasted life, I was always anointed. I dwelt on the charger. You know? Oh, Jesus. Makobo. Oh, parable Shakama. None of my disciples followed me. That is because I labored on the lives of men. I labored genuinely. I taught people how to pray. In fact, I remember my friend in Abuja. He will be watching now. I said, see, we need to pray. So I arrested him. We went to Technica. And the prayer lawn was wide. So when I'm praying like this, praying like that, then we'll meet. Then we'll cross. When he got there into darkness, he ran away. Akechi ran away. He took off. One day I came to preach for him and he confessed that story. I said, that's why he's struggling. That's why he's like this. None of my disciples followed me. None. Many of them were dwelling in this town when we pioneered this work. They heard, okay. But you know what? The thing happens inside. I checked my phone today and I saw some of them reach out and say, man of God, man, today, 14 years later, man of God. Everybody will gravitate in the direction of a man whose faith has proven victorious. It means he knows the way through the wilderness. But when you are going through the wilderness, your friends are few. I know. You know what? You know why I can't be involved in manipulation and politics? Only Jesus was my friend. Only Jesus. He showed me how to navigate. He showed me how. I will never be a big preacher. Because many preachers have recommended to me how to compromise the ways of Jesus and enter into their clique. I say it is an abomination. Because where I was navigating the wilderness, you were not there. You may not know that I've been offered the bishopric before. Oh. You don't know that. I know you don't know that. I would have come here with a cap. The people attempting to offer the bishopric were not there when I was navigating in the wilderness. So none of my disciples followed me. And I taught people Jesus. I was a forthright preacher of righteousness. Very forthright. My life was my message. I used to come to the what do they call that place? Common room where people are buying cigarettes. When I come there, the smokers can't smoke till I leave. Yes. When I come from the hostel with my bucket and there's a line of buckets, the person in front, we remove his own, I'll put my own, and he puts his own where my bucket is. I had honor among my schoolmates. I lived for Jesus, and it was clear that I lived for Jesus. When they poisoned the capon of black ass, it was my room that they brought him for the viva. I told him to sleep on my bed. He will wake up healed, and it happened. It happened. No court man ever attempted to oppress me. Yeah. No court man. Because I was a court man for Jesus. I was a dangerous man. Jesus Christ. When we started this walk, none of my disciples followed. None even sent pleasantries. I was alone. Chief Don sitting here didn't meet me on campus. We were one of the ancients of that campus. He didn't meet me on campus. It was not as if we met in school, we were friends. It was the prayer altar that I started in my sitting room when I was posted to Makurdi that attracted him. I think in this hall now, the only person that saw me in school is Dr. Nguvan. This hall now, as we are now. Shala is not here, except it's in your vision. Hallelujah. So you say they don't believe in you, they didn't believe in me too. They didn't believe. And any time I go to my uncles, they know that I preach. So they will do something, say something funny about Jesus, about... Today I don't pick their call. You need to apply to call me. Jesus must be honored. When you must acknowledge him first. I raise the bar. Yes, and the people that were supposed to inherit witchcraft, they inherit tongues. Because the bar was raised. It was on this bridge here, this bridge, that I vowed that I will never cross this bridge to look for money again from my uncles. I vowed. Because when we got to the bridge, the conductor said, my money has finished. That my money was reading like recharge card. And when they checked it the last time, it was zero. So they dropped me on the bridge. That was where I vowed. I can show you the spot. God became my father that night. He became my father that night. These are people that my father trained. So, God became my father. And I found out, I'm here to testify, that he's a better father than your earthly father. Oh my. May you be put in a spot where you will seek God to be your father. It's because you think you have an answer. That's why you are wretched. There's room in God. No one followed me. They didn't believe. So that level of depression was already, it was at the door. But you know what? There was the economy that was operating inside was much more than any form of rejection that men could give. I know how many pastors in this town say, what I have is English, just English, that I've learned English very well, that I'm just until we came out for Festival of Glory, and I came with my white suit. It became clear that it was not English, that there were miracles, signs and wonders. And if you were there this last time, it came with ease. It means even preachers didn't like me. But that did not change anything. You are expecting that when you come, people just come and carry you. And I say, hey, welcome. Go and sell ice cream. Only people that sell ice cream are liked on the street. If you buy a car for 2 weeks, you are the object of cursing. They say that the car is not even straight. One side is up, one side is... Get used to it. Our strength is inside. I told the pastors working with me, I said, I'm not holding you. If you feel led to go and do something else, I will release you and bless you and even support you. Because demons were on our case. A congregation can be 200 and it's that congregation that is bringing headache to Satan. Most of the attacks of the territory will be against that congregation. A congregation can be 2,000 and demons and witches come to fellowship and take air condition and fan. It's a haven for darkness. When you begin to pioneer what is territorial and what is governing, Satan's attention will be drawn. So we had to learn how to fight. Many things that I was not taught in Bible school, I found on the field. How demons will stay on your case. When I go to cities like Lagos and I hear preachers preaching intellectual messages, dead doctrine, I pity them. Come and do that here. You'll be shaved. Satan will come in the night and help you. Shave your head. Shave. Because of the accumulation of intercession, and many, many generals prayed over the city of Lagos, even fake people can come and do ministry and they won't die. So people speak English and say, you know. He always comes from outside. But if what is at work within you is more intense, you will not notice it. But the Bible says that God is able to do immeasurably, abundantly above that which you can ask or think, but it is consistent with the power that is at work within you. It was last year. The members of our fellowship, those days, they now made a group and put me. But you see, the shame was so much that the group died. That is, nobody had a message to post. Do you understand? Because they knew that what we believed, the way we believed Jesus, was not the life they lived. So you have group. Have you ever seen a group that is silent for 1 year? According to the power that is at work within you. So you have a choice. To allow the inner economy to grow. When you start this thing, you will think that it has no end. Because there are days when you don't have food to eat. If you are really saturated inside, that is not a problem. Nobody has ever won a trophy because he ate food. Yeah, we didn't eat. My problem is not food. In fact, you need to pray for me to eat. Those were the trainings God gave us that made it easy for us to handle the next season that came. We're not looking for vainglory. We're not looking for clap offerings. We're not looking for money. We're not looking for an applaud. We're not even looking for breakthrough. Because when we started cable ministry, I had 12 invitations to preach in 12 countries. And I went to ask Jesus, are you involved in all these invitations? And he said, he's not aware of invitations. That was the day I decided I would not serve the God called breakthrough. There's one God called breakthrough. It's a type of Jesus. So it will lead you to a place where you wander out of the regions of grace. None of them followed me. Uka here. Yeah. Uka was the champion of a riot. This, our evangelist, he did riot on campus. And when I was passing, I saw him. I said, when you grow up, you will understand. He couldn't sleep. When you grow up, don't make a name for the devil. When you grow up, you understand. And it's quite an honor to stand side by side him today. I was the one that ministered Holy Ghost to him, that he spoke in tongues. Fire. If I'm about to be discouraged and I preach, I will know that what is inside me is more than my poverty. Hey, what comes out? Oh, I said, no, this thing is greater than poverty. I will wait for Jesus. I am a courier. He said the things that will make for worry are traveling materials to make you migrate in prayer to that place in God where you find peace. That place is too far from the reach of the devil, and what he does on the outside cannot affect you. You will share your story, but you see, the way God does it in the physical is easy. He can even use a cock who can crow in the morning, and then somebody will begin to cry because he understands the meaning of the cock. God doesn't lack the physical framework of responding to your faith. The Bible says he does not need the strength of an ox or the legs of a man. The challenge is, are you in alignment? Are you on the same page with him? Because he has an obsession. One of his obsessions is that he wants to be believed. Do you believe him? Or you are there dancing where the orchestrations of darkness are, and you think you are living. You are not living. You are in darkness. So through prayer we migrate. And then when you migrate to the place called peace, then I can tell you of number two. You'll be faithful, Lord. Through the ages past, that is why your name is forever.
Forever more.
You've been faithful, and God is within you. When he drops a scripture, it's a powerful thing. When he drops a song, he is telling you what the song is saying. When he brings you into peace, it means you're on the same page with him. There are signs and signposts in the spirit atmosphere that he gives his children. You must be strong within you. God is faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. That is why your name
is forever.
You've been faithful, Lord. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 35. Can you flash it on the screen? Hebrews chapter 10 verse 35. In view of the fact that God is spirit in your heart, then we are enjoined by Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Was the Holy Ghost able to build a conviction in you about a matter? Cast it not away. Did you see a sign about something in the spirit? Say, cast it not away. Because it has the capacity, it has the potential to bring forth a great recompense of reward. You've been faithful. I'm the
edge.
You've been faithful, Lord.
You've been faithful. head and be a personal witness. Be a personal witness of God's faithfulness before Him. Oh yes. You may need to think and consider again to see that it has been God all through. That is why Isaiah said, all that we have accomplished were the things you did them for us. All that we called accomplishments, all the escapes, all the liftings, you could have been dead by now. But somehow, beyond what you can explain, behind what you don't have explanation for, is the faithfulness of God. Oh, He is faithful. He is faithful. Faithful and true. Faithful and true is our God. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Of a truth, you have been faithful. Never failing. That is why you have become the God of our confidence. You have become for us a strong assurance. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we bless you. We give you great glory and praise tonight. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Please, let's be seated in a moment. Now, this emphasis that has come tonight is stronger than binding of devils. God told the children of Israel at a point and said, when you get to a nation, please offering basket go around. And you are going to, you know, have a combat with them, and you see that they are too strong, they are formidable, impregnable. Say, remember, the tool, the instrument you need to penetrate is, remember the Lord your God, how He slew great nations, how He parted the Red Sea, with that remembrance of the fact that God is faithful and God is able, what lies before you becomes a mirage. You can run through it. And the reason why many times we fail before present challenges is because we forget past victories that God has carried us through. Over the last weekend, myself and Pastor Shala and a couple of us, we were in my village. We went for a crusade in my place, and it was in my village that we lodged. And they saw the way my village is and the kind of development there. And I told them, when God was leading me to separate from my people, it could only have been God. When a lot of things that you need is one phone call away, and God is saying, don't depend on any of them and all of that. You know, it could only have been God. Hallelujah. God has been faithful. As it is right now, I can dump my entire life and my entire family on God and know that it's going to be fine, it's going to be well, it's going to be okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. Can you say God is faithful? God is faithful. God is faithful. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many of us have been extremely blessed in this season of fasting? Hallelujah. Can we just put our hands together for the Lord tonight? It's been His strength all the way. It's been His strength all the way. While our father was preaching, he said something about the fact that there are dealings and trainings that God gives to you that position you to be able to engage the next season and seasons of our lives. Take this particular time out very, very serious, because this could be the preparation you need to face the next season profitably without any form of losses. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, for me, this is the first contact of this ministry is when I came in here, and I'm seeing the Lord making a request on us as a people that I've not had him made for 14 years, as it stands right now. And I'm going to read Exodus chapter 25. Exodus 25 verse 1 says, "And the Lord speak unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering." You shall take my offering. Previously, maybe the church has been taking church offering, but in this situation, God is requesting for an offering that is what? His offering. "And this is the offering which ye shall take of them: gold and silver and brass and purple and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram's skin dyed red and badger skin and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod, in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it." This is Israel post-Exodus. And all the while in Egypt, God was taking responsibility, footing the bill for their deliverances and everything. But right now, having been delivered, God is asking them to bring an offering. And for the first time in 14 years, this is the first time that in the beginning of the year, January like this, God is requesting of us to bring a special offering. Praise the Lord. I will say, "Cast your bread upon the waters, you shall find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and another to eight, because you don't know the evil that is coming upon the earth." And whenever there is something that God needs to do for his people, and he needs an occasion, a ground to accomplish that, he makes a request on them. And if you are a Christian, you are a person, and God is not making demands and requests on you, then God is not jealous about your life. He's not even taking you serious at all. Praise the Lord. This contact is going to be starting on the 22nd of January to the 24th. The e-banner is everywhere. Make sure they are properly reticulated. Send them among your friends and on your platform. This contact for on the 24th, being Sunday, the Lord is asking us to bring a special offering. Praise the Lord. If you are going to walk safe with God, walk with his instruction, not his explanation. There are things that you will understand later. You will know why. And when you come into the why, you will have a better understanding than if God is telling you, you see, so and so, you will not get it. So God is requesting on us to bring special offering this contact Sunday, being 24th of January. And one of the things I know about God is God likes being prepared for. The God I know is not a God that wants to be an afterthought. You just say, okay, I didn't know you are coming. Okay, see, but here there is one. No, he likes that when he comes, everything is set with him in view. So prayerfully, what did I say? Prayerfully prepare an offering for the Lord. And this offering, God is calling it my offering. But we are going to take it from you for the Lord. I don't know why. I don't know for what. I don't know what it is that God wants to do. Either something positive that he wants you to latch onto, or something negative that he wants to exempt and exclude us from. I can't really tell which of the expression of all of this. But I know for sure that God is asking of us to bring an offering. And why this is very, very critical for me as a person who has been here for the beginning is the fact that God is doing it for the first time at the beginning of the year. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you get it. So begin to prepare an offering, however it is going to be for you. It could be, I don't want to go into details. It could be savings, whatever it is. Make sure you get an offering for the Lord. I remember those days when you go to church and then you don't have an offering. The person sitting close, you just tell him, "Can I get offering?" that you collect. At the end of the day, you begged, but you gave. Do you understand? And when God is taking inventory of those that gave offering, it's you that gave the offering. Praise the Lord. Should I say, even if you need to borrow? Hello. If there is money that you are expecting at a particular time and you can borrow, I want to encourage you. But this is my own encouragement. Now, this is not just here, the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But having worked with God, I can tell you the body languages of God, and I can tell you how to posture and position yourself to properly and adequately take advantage of what God is putting forth to us in the name of Jesus. So we're going to be bringing this announcement to you every other day until 24th of January. And just like I said, this one, the Lord is not building. It's not because we are building. It's not because we have crusade, whatever. But the Lord himself is requesting an offering for the people who are called his people. So begin to prayerfully prepare an offering to offer to the Lord. And we're going to be taking that offering on the 24th of January 2021. God bless you greatly. If you are streaming, following this meeting online, this instruction applies to you. Online, maybe outside Nigeria, there's a dollar account and a SWIFT code that will help you facilitate all of this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Adulam late registration will be wrapping up on the 15th of this month. If you have not yet enrolled and you are still marking, marking time and all of that, please do that as fast as you can in Jesus' name. Tomorrow by 4 p.m., we're going to be back here again to continue on this voyage. Would you please be on your feet as we bring this meeting to a close? Just go ahead and bless him. Appreciate him. Give him glory. Give him praise. Father, we thank you. Lord, we bless you. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.